following is a message given in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 1st, 2018, by Brother Osmar Suarez and Brother Ed Wrighton. The title of the message is Taking Christ as Our Trespass Offering for God's Purpose. The scripture verses are Leviticus chapter 5, verses 5 to 7.
This time, Lord, we thank you. You are the reality of the trespass offering to us. Lord, oh, how grateful we are with you that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be in your presence this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Lord, increase our appreciation of you as the reality of the trespass offering. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have to confess that before this training on Leviticus, I was very confused with all these terms, especially these three offerings. The offering, the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Because they are mentioned in the same verses with the same item that's being offered. And of course, in the New Testament, we see that the reality of all the offerings is this wonderful person. This one wonderful person, Christ,
Amen.
Who is dwelling today in our spirit.
Yes.
Amen. But then to see the difference in this between these three, it was confusing to me, but I'm going to try to share what I enjoy seeing these differences, because seeing that, it just increases our appreciation of the reality that is in Jesus as the trespass offering for us. So in Leviticus 5, 6, and 7, we see in verse 6 that the trespass offering is mentioned in relation to the sin offering. And in verse 7, it says, "And if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring as his trespass offering to Jehovah for that in which he has sinned two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering." So here we hear the three names of the three offerings together. Well, we learn that we need Christ as our sin offering because there is a difference between sin, singular, and sins. Sin referring to our inward condition, which is the indwelling sin in us, our sinful nature. That is sin, which in the book of Romans is even personified as a person, is Satan himself, a sin dwelling in us. So for that, we need Christ as the sin offering. But then we have also sins in plural form, and that refers to our sinful acts, our sinful deeds. That is expressed outwardly. And for the sins that we commit in plural, praise the Lord, we have the blood of Jesus, his son,
Amen.
That cleanses us from every sin.
Amen.
Oh, dear brothers and sisters, this is music to the sinner's ear,
Amen.
That we can be forgiven,
Amen.
That Christ complete his work of redemption at the cross, and today he deals with both our sinful nature within, our sinful deeds without. Praise the Lord. And this is what we read in the New Testament in John chapter 1, verse 29. If we can read that verse. John 1, 29 says, can we read together? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This expression here, the sin of the world, it refers to the totality of sin. It deals with these two aspects of sin, our sinful nature and our sinful acts. Praise the Lord for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So he is the trespass offering, but this trespass offering, referring to take care of our trespass, it has to do with the sin offering and the burnt offering. Why? Because we see that sins have actually a reason and a source. They don't just come about because. But there is a reason and there is a source. The reason for our trespasses, our wrongdoings, our sins, is our not living for God. If we will be living absolutely for God, then there will be no sins. There will be no sinful deeds. There will be no sinful acts. But it is because we are not absolute for God that we sin. And this is the reason for our sin. And for that, we have Christ as the one who is absolute for God. And Christ as the one who is absolute for God is the reality of the burnt offering. And also, there is not only the reason for sin, but there is also the source of sin. And the source of our sins, the source of our sinful acts, is the sin that we have within in our inward, sinful, fallen nature. And for that, we have Christ as the sin offering. So this is why we have in verse 7 of Leviticus 5 that the trespass offering is mentioned in relation to both the sin offering and the burnt offering. So hallelujah that we have such a provision that deals with the totality of sin within and without to be saved from sin. Hallelujah. That we can enjoy such a provision. And when we enjoy such a provision, then we're not only cleansed from sin, but something wonderful happens. You know, when I as a father call my children because they did something wrong and I just exercise some discipline on them and they confess their wrongdoing with me, they probably will feel not very happy after that, probably sad. But when we confess our sins before our God, it happens actually the complete opposite. And it is that there is joy within. There is peace within. There is happiness within. And there is this buoyant feeling that we want to share this wonderful Christ that is in us that deals with sin within and without us. This is just wonderful. And in 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5-6, we see something in relation to sinning that I like just to point out, and I enjoy this point very much this week. Can we read this verse, 1 Peter 2:24? He bore up our sins in his body on the tree. And then it ends saying, by whose bruise you were healed. So this sin causes in us some wound, some damage that needs healing. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we may cry out for this healing. Why do we continue in sin? Because we do still need this healing power that comes from the side of Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood for us. And then the following verse touching the same point. Can we read Isaiah 53:5-6? What a wonderful prophecy. Jehovah has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This was accomplished on the cross. And by his stripes, we have been healed. Amen. We don't have to live with the pain of sin. Oh, we have this healing in Jesus. Amen. By confessing our sins. So if we do not do the confessing, we still bear the wounds and the pain of sin. But the Lord has accomplished everything on the cross and just leave it for us just to come to him. Just by confessing our sins. Just by enjoying his love. You know, the experience of King David It's something very wonderful that we can all relate. When he's seen by stealing the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, he then recognized his sin and he confessed and he cried out. And he said on Psalm 51 verse 1, he said, "Be gracious to me, O God." This "O God" is repeated many times in this chapter of the Bible. This crying out, seeking for this healing, seeking for this breaking of the chain of sin, for this deliverance that we can find when we touch our Lord and confess, and we cry out this "O God." But then he says this wonderful phrase, "According to your loving kindness." So probably he was feeling really bad before the Lord, and he was here crying out, but he knew deep in his heart that the heart of the Lord towards him was of love. Our Father loves us.
Amen.
And he desires for us to come to him.
Amen.
But sin gets in the way. But then we just need to confess. Oh, that we will be those who confess. But you know, a fine forgiveness requires a fine confession. And we many times are too quick to lose in our confessions. Just a general confession, "Lord, forgive me for my sins." That is good, but it's not good enough. We need to really confess, have a thorough confession, to receive a thorough forgiveness. Oh, and when we do this, we really enjoy the Father's love. He really loves us and desires that we will come to him by confessing our sins. This is really my burden and my enjoyment this week, that we will be those who come to him and confess. You know, he desires to fill us with himself, but sin occupies room in our being. We need to get rid of the sin in our being to empty our container so that we can be filled by him. He desired to fill us with himself. Oh, but we need to be those who empty our container by confessing. The problem is that many times we confess under our own understanding. Oh, but we need to come to him as light. The Bible tells us that he is light. In his light, we see light. Without his light, we're still in darkness. So we must confess what is revealed to us under the shining of his light. So this practice is wonderful, and it is revealed in 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. And here is what we call, or at least the notes in the recovery version of the Bible, calls it the cycle of the spiritual life. There is a wonderful cycle that we can partake of so that God can fill us. And that we empty ourselves by confessing so that he has a free way to fill our being. And this is for the accomplishing of his purpose. And I like to draw something that we ordered some t-shirts last year in Summer School of Truth. And it has this cycle to impress the young people. But I felt, oh, I need to be impressed by this. This is something that we really have to have really imprint in our heart, because we need to enter into this practice daily and continuously. So if you help me to read verse 2, can you read verse 2? The eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. When was it manifested? When the Lord Jesus came in the flesh, he manifested God. But he was also manifested to me when he entered into me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's been manifested to us.
Amen.
The eternal life. So this is the main point of the cycle of the spiritual life. The eternal life. So let me just draw what we had on that t-shirt, which is wonderful. The eternal life that was manifested to us. So let me just try to do a cycle. A cycle goes like this, right? Okay. And this is based on 1 John chapter 1, verses to 9. So we have eternal life in verse 2. Let's continue to verse 3. Hallelujah. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So this fellowship in the divine life is based on the eternal divine life, uncreated life of God that we have received. So when we partake of this life, then we have fellowship in the divine life. And then verse 4. Can you read it for me? There is a huge element of the Christian life here. That is joy.
Amen.
That is joy.
Amen.
In fact, this training of Leviticus taught us that the whole book of Leviticus is a training from God to God's people to train them to do what? To have a life that is holy, clean, and rejoicing.
Amen.
It is normal for a Christian to be rejoicing because he has received this eternal life. And he keeps himself in the fellowship of this divine life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But sin is always in the way. And here's where we're going to deal with that. So the next verse, can you read the next verse, verse 5? We are full of darkness. But we can declare this, that God is light. And in Him, there's no darkness at all. So we need the light of God, the divine light, to know what I need to confess. The reason why I do not confess that much is because I am not under this light. But if I come to this light, oh, I will see all the wrongdoings, all the mistakes. Not being joyful is something I need to confess. There are so many things we will need to confess if we come to this light. And the Bible tells us that him who is forgiven much will love much. So it is wonderful to be under this light. We will be full of joy and full of love for the Lord. So in this light, isn't the light that is the basis for our confession. So then next verse, can we read the next verse? Right. So if we're not under this light, then this fellowship suffers. But if we keep ourselves walking in this light, we have this fellowship strengthened. And then the next verse will speak of the blood of Jesus. Once we see what we need to confess, then the confession leads us to take the blood of Jesus that the Bible tells us that cleanses us from every sin. Let's read the following verse with strong spirit, declaring this spiritual fact. Every sin means every sin. So no matter how condemned we may feel or how bad we may feel, God the Father desires us to come to Him. And He has provided us with all. He has provided Christ as the burnt offering, as the sin offering, and as the trespass offering for us to be able to come back to Him and take His blood that cleanses us from every sin. And when that happens, then we partake of more of the eternal divine life within us. We are filled with His life. And that brings us to have more fellowship with Him. And then that will bring more light. And the more light we see, the more sins we will see to confess. Well, the more blood will we apply. But the more light we'll have and the more fellowship. Oh, this is just so wonderful that we can enter into this practice of confessing our sins. But a fine confession, a fine forgiveness requires a fine confession. So this is the way for us to be filled. Many times we desire to be filled, but we don't know how to be filled. This is the way to be filled, to open our vessel, that the Lord will just come in and empty us and fill us with Himself. by having a thorough confession. I don't know when was the last time that you took really a long time to be in the light of the Lord, to confess every little sin, to go through all the aspects of our living. But I am encouraged this week to practice this more often. Not just the general confession, but to dedicate enough time that I can be in the light of the Lord to confess. When we do that, oh, we will be full of joy. But this is not just for us to be joyful. This is for God's purpose. In fact, the title of this message is Taking Christ as Our Trespass Offering for God's Purpose. So yes, we will be joyful. Yes, we will love the Lord. Yes, we will walk on light. But that is for God's purpose. This is the way God is expressed. And this is the way the enemy of God is subdued. And this is the way the kingdom will come. May the kingdom come. Amen. Oh Lord, that we will be those who take Christ daily in our confession, experiencing Him as the reality of the trespass offering. Amen. Amen. Brother Ed will continue.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I am so happy.
Amen.
So glad. We both have the same burden. So, we're one.
Amen.
You know, you can forget everything Brother said, everything Brother Osman said, everything that I said, but remember one word. So that when you hear trespass offering, you use that word. You know, there's advertising about hotels. And it is mentioned, hotels, and then another word. Well, I want you to remember, when you hear trespass offering, confession. We need to realize that on the one hand, God has made every provision for us in such a way that we can live for Him, we can express Him, we can serve Him, we can fulfill His purpose. But, if there's something in the way, then we need to confess. I would like to mention an experience I had yesterday. On Friday night, some saints shared about the need to have a full, complete, thorough confession. On Saturday morning, after my morning watch, I felt I should do what they were saying you should do. I didn't have to wait. I don't know how many seconds it took. The Lord said, "What about that decision you made the other day? Who made it?" And it was a decision that I knew that He would approve. But I made it myself. Whoops. That needs to be dealt with. You may say, well, maybe it's not a sin. But, we need to deal with anything that's in the way of our loving, but holy and righteous God. So let's read Leviticus 5, 5 and 6 again.
And when he is guilty of one of these things, he shall confess that conviction of that sin, and he shall bring his trespass offering to Jehovah for his sin, and he shall never commit it.
we need to realize, yes, of course, sins are the biggest problem, but that's not all. We need to have a fine, detailed confession. So we need to confess not only our sins, our wrongdoings, shortcomings. Wow. Do we have shortcomings? When the Lord says, come here, and we delay, right? Weaknesses. Uh-oh. Are we strong in the Lord? We're not. And failures. But I don't know if you noticed this week, there was a little phrase there that was quite shocking. It said, if you make a full, thorough confession, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. What else could you want? Right? So of course, we shouldn't forget the positive side. We need the positive side. But we cannot forget the negative side, that we need to confess, not just our sins. So we need to practice this, especially at the Lord's table. And the Lord reminded me of something else. Sometimes I'm looking at him and it touches me, and I call at him. Strangely enough, nobody says anything. Or as I'm going to call it, somebody else calls another one. But when I'm faithful to the Lord and I think I have a hymn, I say, Lord, what about this hymn? And if the peace of Christ arbitrates in me and says yes, it makes a difference. There may be nothing so special about that hymn, but because the Lord really calls that hymn, it makes a tremendous difference in the meeting. It lifts up the meeting. So, not only our trespasses, our sins, but also what we do, our decisions. We sang a hymn this morning. Jesus is Lord. Is he our Lord? Or do we make our own decisions? Or do we go on automatic pilot? So we need to make a thorough, full confession. Then we can have forgiveness. Then as we apply the blood, just like in the Old Testament, the priest would apply the blood, then everything is taken care of. We're cleansed immediately. And of course we see this in 1 John 1:9. Let's read 1 John 1:9 again. Here it tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous. He is faithful in his word, and he is righteous in the blood of Jesus. The blood was applied, so God is righteous. He has to forgive us. Not only forgive us, it's instantaneous. You don't have to wait for forgiveness. So we need to confess. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It from all unrighteousness, everything is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus if we confess our sins. So we need to see that for the trespass offering to work, really, we have to confess, as we have over there. Then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from the offense of our sins. And not only that, but it washes us from the stain of sin. So after we confess, it is as if we never sinned. Everything is taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Then, in the trespass offering, any sin can be forgiven immediately. Let's read Leviticus 5:18. Oh, we don't have that. Numbers 19:11-13. Sorry, Numbers. Let's read those verses. Here we see how crucial, how terrible is death. You know, it's really amazing. It tells you in these verses that to be cleansed from touching a dead person, imagine a close relative of you dies, you cannot touch that person. Why? Because of death. So if you touch a dead person, you had to wait 7 days. Not only that, you had to be cleansed on the third day and on the seventh day. But we have seen in 1 John 1:9, we confess, we're forgiven immediately. So how terrible is the matter of death here in the Old Testament? And we need to apply that to us today. It's not just in the Old Testament. To touch the uncleanness of spiritual death is the most serious thing in the eyes of God. Here is not a, in being cleansed of our sins is not a matter of time, but when death is involved, there is a matter of time to be cleansed. So we need to be those who are separated from death and filled with Him as life. Life is anti-death. If we're filled with life, it's automatically anti-death. We don't need to worry about it. But on the other hand, if we're not careful, we need to be concerned. Not only that we will not touch death, not only that we will not hear death, but also that we will not spread death. If we are in ourselves, we will. We need to be in spirit to spread life. So how crucial this is, not only in the Old Testament, but even now, to be filled with life which is anti-death. And we can also pray that the Lord would keep us away from death. Then let's go to Leviticus 5:11. Let's read this one. Very interesting. Fine flour. We already know what the fine flour in the Old Testament stood for. For the humanity of Jesus. So, we see here that we sin not only because we are constituted sinners, not only because we're not 100% for God, but also because we do not have the life of the Lord Jesus in our experience. And it is interesting that it just needed a tenth of an ephah, which is very little. It doesn't take much of the life of Christ to stay away from death, to stay away from everything that is not of God. So we need to remember why we commit sins. So then let's go back, let's read Leviticus 11, 1 to 3. Animals. We don't bring a trespass offering, right? Well, there's a reason. And this reason we find, we won't read it, but I'll just describe it to you, what happened to Peter in Acts chapter 10. Peter was very hungry. So they were preparing the food for him. In the meantime, he went upstairs. In those days, houses had an open space on top to pray. And then he had a vision. The vision was that a sheet came down with all kinds of horrible animals that Jews could not eat. And he hears the word of the Lord. Come on, Peter, eat. Remember, he was hungry and the food was being prepared. But Peter answered to God. You know, he's so bold. He said, I have never eaten any of these animals. But what happened is, what did the Lord answer to him? A voice came to him again a second time. The things that God has cleansed, do not make common. You might still say, come on, what are you talking about? Well, the Lord led Peter to the house of Cornelius. In the house of Cornelius, Peter said something. He said to them, you understand that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to join himself to or come near one of another race. Cornelius was a Roman. Yet God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Actually, what he saw were animals. But here, Peter applied this to people. So we're going to do the same thing, applying it to people in Leviticus. So here we have, in this portion, animals that divide the hoof and chew the cud. Animals that divide the hoof are actually those who discern what is of God, what is of Satan, what is of the world, what is of the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. We need such a discernment. What is earthly? What is heavenly? What is of the new man? What is of the old man? So we need to be like animals who divide the hoof. But then, in addition, we have not only animals who divide the hoof, but those who chew the cud. Now, what in the world is chewing the cud? Animals that are ruminant have more than one stomach. And for instance, a cow has four stomachs. So the food goes to the first stomach and it goes back to the mouth and it gets regurgitated and put back in the next stomach. So the cow eats by stages. We need to be like that. In the morning watch, the Lord touches us with a verse. Ah, how about during the day? We forget the verse, forget it. I enjoyed it already. No, we come back to the Word. And that's when we need Psalm 119:15. Let's read this verse. Rich in meaning, the Hebrew word for muse implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To muse on the word is to taste and enjoy through careful considering. Prayer and praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the word. So here we see that in addition to confessing, in addition to having discernment, we need to muse on the Word, which is to enjoy the Word as His breath in 2 Timothy 3:16, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God, to receive spiritual nourishment. Praise the Lord. And now we will sing hymn number 13. Hymn number 13. And then it's your time to share what you have enjoyed. Somebody gonna get the mics?
Praise the Lord. Well, this title is Taking Christ as Our Trespass Offering for God's Purpose. We know God has a purpose. He wants to build His dwelling place. But unfortunately, we are sin. But Christ, He fulfilled all the offering for us to apply. So today, we can always keep our heart, you know, to fellowship with the